You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Another afternoon with you here on the gym for the gym class for Wednesday, March 8th, middle of the week. Hope you're well. Happy Wednesday, almost to the weekend, although to me it feels like the weekend starting today. Kind of, not really, but when there's hoops to watch, I mean, does it really feel like a work day? I don't know, but there's plenty of basketball on the TV screen today, tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, even into Sunday, the selection show Sunday evening as we get down the road here towards the start of the big dance, which is next week. Talk about that to start off the show. Also going to talk some wrestling. Mark Ironside joining us coming up here in about 15, 20 minutes or so. Talk about the results from the Big Ten Championships this past weekend in Ann Arbor. Quick look ahead to Nationals as well in Tulsa. We'll talk with him coming up. And on the program today, it's a Wednesday. Still no Scott Unash. He's in Des Moines, but Bowling Night in America must go on. We will talk Bowling Night in America, get you a preview coming up before 4 o'clock here today. It's the Gym Class brought to you by DuPaco Community Credit Union here on KGYM. Spencer in for Scott today, joined by Mark Dukes as well. Happy Wednesday. How's it going?
Going well, Spencer. Good afternoon to you and everyone out there. Isaac as well. And we will give you updates from the Boys State Basketball Tournament during the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard.
Yes.
Kennedy in action right now. Northwind in action tonight. And in addition to that, 17 conference tournaments in action today.
Man, it is a busy, busy day. Plenty of action going on right now. I mentioned last hour some drama already. I don't know if you saw the end of the Wake Forest Syracuse game. Of course, Steve Forbes, the Lone Tree native, getting a win there, but a shot with 0.5 seconds left for Wake to push them past Syracuse, and a lot of questions now about Jim Boeheim's future at Syracuse. He was asked, "Was this your last game?" And basically gave a non-answer, said, "Well, I dropped my retirement speech in last press conference. You guys didn't pick up on it." So kind of basically saying this might be, but it's not, but it is. We're not sure. But Jim Boeheim going out with a 17-15 record, at least this season, and Wake Forest will play number one Miami. So see if Wake can get hot here. Don't think that they weren't in the tournament by any means. They're not even in the conversation of first four out, next four out, but we'll see if they can make a run here and maybe get into a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
That was the early drama. We got ACC tournament action. Pitt had a sizable lead, but now Georgia Tech has battled back to tie the game about halfway through the second half there in Greensboro. Also got the Pac-12 tournament underway right now with Colorado leading Washington at the half, but of course, our attention here in Big Ten country will be on, well, in Big 12 country too, will be on the Big Ten and Big 12 tournaments that get underway tonight. Ohio State, Wisconsin kicking things off at 5:30 from the United Center in Chicago. Of course, the winner of that game will move on to play the Hawkeyes tomorrow about this time. So we'll have some game action to dissect tomorrow on the program.
We will indeed, and very much looking forward to Wisconsin, Ohio State. We asked you yesterday, excuse me, which team would Iowa fans prefer to play?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was overwhelmingly Wisconsin.
Yes.
So that means it will be Ohio State.
right. That's usually how it works.
So we'll see how that game turns out, one of two tonight in the Big Ten. We got two in the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
And we have more teams qualifying. I don't really like punching the ticket because you don't really punch the ticket.
No.
You know, it's an often used phrase, but four other teams qualifying last night.
Yeah. Some really good teams that, I mean, you know how mid-majors work, right? Like you could be one of the best teams in the nation, but just because you play in a mid-major conference. You still have to go out and win the conference tournament. But there was talk about, okay, if Charleston, College of Charleston loses in the, you know, the semifinals of the CAA tournament, would they get an at-large bid? I know Joe Lenardi had them, you know, at least in the conversation of being there, maybe not a lock to at least get a spot, but no doubt now that Charleston is in with 31 victories after last night's win over UNC Wilmington. And then Oral Roberts, a team that folks are probably familiar with, 30-4. They won the Summit League. They blew out North Dakota State last night to claim the Summit League championship. So two 30-plus win teams. You also had Gonzaga, who, you know, St. Mary's played them tough. In fact, St. Mary's beat them once this year, but Gonzaga left no doubt as to who the West Coast champion was yesterday, beating them. And then Northern Kentucky out of the Horizon League also getting in. So it's going to be interesting to see how. I mean, we know Gonzaga is probably going to be a fairly high seed. They usually are, considering how good they are year in and year out. But yeah, we talked about Drake being a popular upset bid, or upset pick, I should say. I think some people are probably going to be picking Charleston or Oral Roberts in their brackets, considering the matchup, obviously.
Yeah, Charleston has won 31 games, and its net is like 50 or so. And it has not played the strongest of schedules.
Right.
It did play North Carolina and a couple others. But 31 wins is 31 wins.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of folks pointing towards Oral Roberts to maybe make a move in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
I've watched enough of them, a little bit of them. It's a good basketball team. We shall see. More championships tonight, and we'll have two games on KGYM Radio. 6:15, the Patriot League.
Mm-hmm.
Lafayette taking on number one seed Colgate.
Mm-hmm.
And at 10:15, the Big Sky. Northern Arizona
mm-hmm.
and Montana State.
Yeah, interesting piece of info with both those games. Now, granted, they are heavy underdogs to the higher seeded teams, but if either Lafayette or Northern Arizona get in, they would have the most losses ever by an NCAA tournament team. They both have 22 losses on the year. Well, maybe they don't belong in. I'm sure some people are saying, well, hey, this is why the conference tournaments are so special, right? This is why March is a special month, because you have stories like that. Now, granted, their chances of, first off, they got to win tonight. Second of all, if they win, pull the upset tonight, especially in the Patriot League. You mentioned Colgate being the number one seed. They're probably going to go to Dayton. Both those teams are, if they somehow both get in, one or the other. Then they got to win in Dayton. Then they got to go on an improbable run as a 16 seed to get any far. But I still maintain that's what makes March fun. Sometimes you get these interesting stories that a lot of people, I think, kind of end up pulling for, because it's such a wacky thing to see. Yeah, they won 11-22, but got to the NCAA tournament. You got to kind of pull for the underdog, right?
Yeah, that's the system we have right now. And personally, I think it'd be lousy if Lafayette or Northern Arizona won.
That's true.
Because it's going to impact a whole lot of teams.
Yeah.
Not only Colgate and Montana State, but
right.
Many, many others, I think. So we'll see what happens. You can tune in and listen to either or both games tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And so many more games to come. We're watching the ACC right now, and we mentioned the Big Ten and Big 12.
Yeah, Big Ten. I don't know. If I made some picks on Spencer on Sports about those games. I think out of the two games tonight, I think Iowa fans are going to get their wish, and they're going to see Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin has a ton to play for, considering they are the second team out of the tournament per Joe Lenardi, still in his bracketology that was updated late last night. So I think we're going to get Iowa, Wisconsin, and then I liked what I saw out of Nebraska. Maybe I'm riding the hot hand a little bit too much here, but I liked what I saw out of Nebraska on Sunday at Carver Hawkeye Arena. If they could continue to play like that, I'm not saying they're going to win the whole thing. I certainly wouldn't pick them to win. I think I'd lean towards Indiana maybe to win the whole thing, or Northwestern. I think both teams are capable of winning. Purdue certainly is as well, but I think Nebraska can win tonight. I think they will win tonight over Minnesota, And I think they're going to give Maryland some fits if they do advance.
Andy Katz, the national college basketball writer and talker, he picked a sleeper team. I don't know if you saw this, but he picked Michigan State.
Yeah, I did see that.
And that would be Iowa's opponent should it win tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see that.
Right.
I can see that.
It's a pretty wide open, you know, Big Ten. Yeah, because, you know, everybody's starting fresh. You know, the whole 0-0 mentality that people talk about, your coaches and players talk about. But it's really true. I mean, you know, we talk about, well, Iowa went 1-3 versus Wisconsin and Ohio State. You know, that's true, but things can change. And motivations, you know, for maybe a team just, you know, they had some time off. They get to a different venue. They decide, you know, this is going to be our year to make a run, and they make a run.
But the slate's clean. I mean, Iowa won the tournament last year as a 5 seed.
Right.
Which it is this year.
Right.
So I think it is wide open.
Yeah, Purdue, you know, the number one seed, but considering the flaws that they showed down the stretch, I see a lot of people going away from Purdue, and I think Michigan State is a very possible pick. I think Indiana, if they're not, you know, kind of in their head, I think that's what we saw in that Iowa game in the final week there, a little bit overconfident after beating and sweeping Purdue. I think Indiana's got a ton of talent with Jackson Davis and Jalen Hood-Schifino and Race Thompson and Miller Kopp and the guys that they have. I think Northwestern, Chase Audige has been struggling down the stretch here, but Boo Booey's fantastic. I like what Chris Collins has done there. I think there's any number of teams.
As much as a home team as anybody.
Yeah, really. Absolutely, because it's in Chicago. Yeah, and, you know, Illinois, I mean, if they're fully healthy, they got some, you know, they're not as good as I think they were last couple years with obviously Kofi Coburn and you know, LeAndre Curbelo's of the world, but there's a lot of teams that you could see making a run, and there's a lot of teams that do need to make a run. I mentioned Wisconsin. The first game of the day tomorrow is that Rutgers-Michigan game with both teams. Again, looking at bracketology, we talked about yesterday, Rutgers, Joe Lenardi has them playing in Dayton. Michigan is right now on the outside looking in, so that's a true bubble test, and you know one of those teams wants to solidify themselves in the picture, in the eyes of the committee, and boy, you know, you win that game, then you get a shot at number one Purdue. I mean, that's a recipe for turning a bubble into a lock, right? Like, you go out and win that game, I think you're pretty much in.
It's going to be a fascinating 3 or 4 days, really. It always is. Mm-hmm. But it is again this year. And, again, tomorrow Iowa opens 1:30, 2 o'clock-ish.
Yeah. Rutgers-Michigan starts at 11. That's the first game of the day, so the Iowa game, the tip-off, depends on how long the first game goes. If the game is done before 1 o'clock, I think it's straight up 1:30. It's a 25-minute, you know, period between the two games. So could be 1:30, could be 1:35, 1:40-ish. Depends on how late the Rutgers-Michigan game goes.
Yeah, but listenership on Spencer on Sports in the gym class may be a tick down.
My show especially. I've got Iowa State leading into my show, and then I've got Iowa during my show. Like, I don't know what I should do in the show. Hello. Hello. Anyone out there? Hello. Just tell, I don't know, read something verbatim. Just bring in a, like, chapter a day kind of thing. Like, find a chapter book and read, like, War and Peace on the air for an hour or something.
Then you'll know if somebody's listening.
Like, you mispronounced that name on chapter 4, page whatever. Yeah, anyways, but that's tomorrow. We will be here. We'll have instant reaction to the Iowa contest as they take on either Wisconsin or Ohio State. I think it's going to be Wisconsin. Be interesting to see the third time around between those two schools if it does indeed happen. You mentioned the Big 12, Texas Tech and West Virginia. Tipping that tournament off tonight, also, you've got Bedlam basketball, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State, you talk about teams with things to play for, Lenardi has them as the first team out. So you got to believe they want to make some sort of a run here to at least get into the Dayton conversation for the Cowboys there. But Iowa State will play Baylor tomorrow, 11:30 start time from Kansas City.
Our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com has to do with the Big 12 tournament. Will the Iowa State men beat Baylor tomorrow? Remember, Iowa and Baylor women get together as well.
Friday night, yep.
But the men's game, will Iowa State beat Baylor, yes or no? And thanks to Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City.
Early leader in the clubhouse, by the way, if you want to see where people are voting, is no. There are some people who think Baylor's seen enough. They've lost twice to Iowa State this year, and they are motivated. I would tend to agree. I think it's tough to beat somebody three times in a year, but we'll see how it plays out.
Tough spot for the Cyclones, I think.
And we talked with Rob Gray yesterday. If you missed that, you can check out the show podcast at KGYMradio.com. But I think we all came to the agreement that, hey, you know, it's not a necessarily must win for Iowa State. I think we all agreed they're pretty solidly in the tournament. So we'll see if Iowa State can make it three straight over Baylor or the Bears go marching on. In Kansas City. 3:20, we got Mark Ironside joining us live in studio coming up in just a bit. Before we do that, let's bring folks that Emil Sideaway scoreboard update.
Sounds great. Kennedy in a tussle, number one ranked and undefeated Cedar Rapids Kennedy in its 4A first round matchup is at last look trailing 48-45. Against Pleasant Valley. A minute 48 left. That'd be a huge upset.
Yeah.
PV at the number 8 seed. But we shall see. We'll give you a final on that game as it comes to us. Last night, Xavier defeated Des Moines Hoover 49-38. And now we'll play Sioux City Heland tomorrow at 3:45 in the 3A semifinals. Earlier today, Waukee and Waukee Northwest each won their first round games in 4A and will oppose one another in the semis. Coming up tonight, North Lynn plays in the semifinals at against Remsen St. Mary's. 7:15 on CRM Live Sports. Also on today's scoreboard, the Iowa men's golf team. Fine finish at Wake Forest, the Wake Forest Invitational in North Carolina. Tying for fourth, Mac McClear, second place in the individual race. Ole Miss apparently is courting Chris Beard, the fired coach from Texas, who was cleared of charges in that assault case, but nevertheless, Ole Miss pursuing him. And finally, UCLA will be without Jalen Clark, one of its best players, for the remainder of the postseason. He suffered an Achilles injury, third leading scorer, and regarded as one of the top defenders in college basketball. Tough blow for UCLA.
Yeah, it is. They start a Pac-12 tournament play here, I believe, tomorrow. They got a first-round bye as the tournament gets underway. But UCLA, one of the few Pac-12 teams to be projected into the field. They were two of the best teams in the country, them and Arizona this year. So big blow to their potential title hopes. 3:22, we'll take a quick timeout. Got some wrestling to talk about. Big Tens are in the books. Nationals on the way. Get to those and more with Mark Ironside. He's here. He's live in person, live in living color on your radio, if that makes sense. We'll get to that on the way here on the Gym Class at KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast, and we are going to have cloudy skies for the rest of the day with a chance for some light flurries or rain around. As we head into tonight, we'll have cloudy skies with temperatures in the 30s. Tomorrow, snow begins to move in during the late morning. Moderate to heavy snow will continue through the afternoon with the chance for some very slushy streets as we head through the evening commute. Accumulation will be around 3 to 7 inches. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Complete your bathroom makeover with 11% off everything at Menards. Find your dream vanity and bath cabinets with Ove Decors. They add extra storage and a touch of elegance to your bathroom. Get 11% off everything for your bathroom, including Ove Decors, vanities, and bath cabinets right now at Menards. Good through March 12th. Savings are mail and rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
With any dream, the wind won't always be at your back, the sun won't always be shining, and some rain is going to fall.
American Family Insurance is like a good solid roof that you can trust to protect your biggest dreams. With plans that could save you up to 23% when you bundle your home and auto. Also, you can continue to dream fearlessly, no matter what comes your way. American Family Insurance.
Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Contact Kirk Gustafson, agent at 1715 Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, or call 319-363-7214 today.
When you buy your own health insurance, you deserve a doctor who's your biggest champion and coverage you can be confident in. And with new Wellmark health insurance plans featuring Unity Point Health, that's what you can expect. These plans help you build a relationship with your Unity Point Health primary care providers and network partners, starting with free preventive and virtual care, plus low copays for primary care with a doctor who always has your back. Connect with an agent to help you enroll at wellmark.com/UPH.
March doesn't have a lock on all the madness.
We've got some too.
And we're giving away Mini Coopers at each Wild Rose location in Clinton, Emmitsburg, and Jefferson. It's Mini Madness.
Now through March 31st.
Earn points for entries when you play with your club wild card at Wild Rose Casino and Hotel,
and you could score your own Mini Cooper. See Club Wild for details.
Wild Rose Casino and Hotel, Clinton.
You'd rather be here.
Must be 21 or older. If you or someone you know needs gambling treatment, call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Back at the Gym Class at 325 for a Wednesday afternoon. 319-366-1600. Love to hear from you today as we roll along here this afternoon. Brought to you by DePaco Community Credit Union on the Gym. And we're going to talk some wrestling. Lots of hoops this week, but don't want to forget about wrestling. I said yesterday I thought about coming in a singlet. I decided that would be against everyone's probably best intentions. I don't own a singlet, so I don't know where I even came up with that. But
wise move, Spencer.
Headgear would have been like, these are my headphones are my headgear. So we are here with Mark Ironside joining us here as always, as he does usually Wednesdays on the show. Right? Am I correct on that? Usually in the sports office working away.
Mark can make it.
Whenever he can make it. He's typically a busy man. He's telling us about his charter flights in the studio, big time. So.
Yeah. Usually Wednesdays. Last week was what, Thursday, I think, or 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, that was a little.
That wasn't on me, though, really. That was. No. No, it was Tuesday.
Lehman couldn't make it on his Thursday either, so that was a little bit of a scrambled egg, but we got her done.
Here today, and then next Wednesday I will be actually via phone from, well, I'll already be out there because we're leaving on Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
So I'll be out there, but crazy enough that my daughter Hannah is playing softball for DMAC, and they play 2 hours away from Tulsa next Wednesday. They have a doubleheader in Chanute, Kansas. So I'm going to rent a car Wednesday morning, drive up there, watch her play two games, and then drive right back. It's only 2 hours. So, and I got nothing really to do on Wednesday. Yeah. This tournament doesn't start until Thursday. So I typically just go over to the arena and hang out and get my credentials and blah, blah, blah. So
good opportunity for you.
Cool. So I'll be watching a softball game, and then I'll talk to you guys on the phone through there.
All right. We'll plan on that. Big Ten Championships concluded in Ann Arbor, Michigan. If you're any team except Iowa, these would be acceptable results. Eight out of 10 wrestlers wrestled two or above their seeds. Mm-hmm. 134.5 points would have won last year's tournament. Mm-hmm. Your observations?
I think that we wrestled a pretty good tournament. Like you said, eight out of our 10 guys either wrestled two or above their seeds. The two guys that didn't were 57, Kobe Seabreck, and 84, Abe Assad. They're both five seeds, and they finished seventh, which isn't terrible. I thought overall that we wrestled well. I thought we came out and we wrestled hard. We put a lot of points up. We continued to score points. There was a lot of bright areas throughout the tournament. We qualified all 10 guys without having to wrestle in the ninth place offsuit bracket for ninth place, because if they take nine guys, because they only place the top eight, but sometimes at the tournament top eight, but if they're going to take nine or above to the actual nationals at that weight class, well, then they got to wrestle a bracket, a separate bracket, just to see who finishes in ninth. And we didn't even have to do that. I mean, all of our guys finished seventh or higher. So we qualified all 10 guys the legit way. And it was really nice. Didn't need a wild card or anything like that either. So that was really refreshing, really nice. Penn State, they did not get a 25-pounder in, so they qualified 9 guys. So that was really nice for us. The other thing was, is come Sunday, you know, I was kind of feeling good about going on Sunday. We had 3 finalists, and I'm just like, you know what? For sure, obviously, we want 3 finalists. We want a few thirds and some fifths and stuff like that. But at the same time, right now, we got all 10 guys in, and we're healthy, and guys are dropping like flies in this tournament, getting hurt. I just want to get out of here without being banged up and having to go back and figure out who's going to have to be scheduled for an MRI Monday morning. And we did. We got out of there unscathed, no further injuries than all what we already had going in. So I feel like going into the national tournament, we're going to be as healthy as we've been probably, honestly, all year long. So I know that, you know, Coach Tom Brands is – caught some flack off and on throughout the season, especially at the beginning of the season when we didn't have an entire lineup in there. And sometimes guys could go. If it was this time of year, they could go. But did we need them to win a dual meet? No. Do we want to see them in the lineup? Absolutely. Who wouldn't, you know, want to see the full lineup? But we got to do what's right and try and make sure these guys are healed up and, you know, ready to go for the most important time of the year, Big Tens and Nationals. And I think that's one reason, honestly, we did well at the Big Tens. You know, we wrestled above, you know, what we were supposed to points-wise. I don't think we were supposed to – I think we were supposed to be by the seeds, and if you would have just, you know, played the bracket out to how it was supposed to be points-wise based off of the seeds, we were supposed to lose to Penn State by like 30 or 40 points, and it only ended up being 12.5 points. So now, granted, we got a few extra points in there, like Max Mirren, crazy, 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 that he has 2 matches that he wins on medical forfeit because as he's wrestling the matches, his opponents get concussions. I mean, to have that happen twice to the same guy, so then we, for both those matches, we pick up an extra 2 bonus points because it counts as like a fall, so there's an extra 4 points right there. So we picked up a few extra points that we probably wouldn't have had in that situation, but still, overall, we wrestled a pretty good tournament.
Spencer Lee, of course, one of those first place winners at 125. I caught a little bit of your match of the radio coming back from the disappointing men's basketball game on Sunday. I probably should have stayed home and watched some wrestling instead of going to that game. But what impressed you about this championship for Spencer?
You know, the thing that I liked to see out of Spencer was the McKee match. He's the Minnesota 125 pounder. When we wrestled McKee, how long ago we wrestled Minnesota? Like end of February, I believe. I think it was. No, I take that back. Middle of February. So about a month ago, we wrestled Minnesota. And at the end of the first period up there in Minnesota, we were ahead 6-1. And we ended up winning that match on riding time point 7-1. This time around at the Big Tens last weekend, at the end of the first period, same exact score, 6-1. The difference was, I don't remember the final scores, but we got a tech. But the difference was he continued to keep wrestling. He kept continued to keep hitting shots, going for turns, getting turns. He didn't just shut down because he was tired or fatigued, you know, and just kind of coast. The difference was he was able to wrestle the full entirety of the match and continue to keep penetrating and keep hitting shots and keep being offensive. And that's great to see. Same thing in the finals against Cronin. He was dead tired. He gets a stall call and then bam, but he's still right back in a shot. And then he's looking for a turn to finish the match. He's able, that's what I like about Spencer right now, is he's had some matches that have gone the distance and his shape continues to keep getting better and better and better. And if he can continue to keep getting his conditioning better, the rest of the Gundry doesn't really honestly stand a chance. But, you know, with that, with him getting his conditioning better, the reason he gets tired, and people say, oh, he's just not in shape, which a lot of it is he hadn't wrestled for so long that it just takes a while to get your body in shape. But you watch him wrestle compared to 90% of the other guys out there, he wrestles as hard as he possibly can until literally his body just shuts down and it can't go no more. I mean, he tries so hard for those first period takedowns. He's grabbing, he's squeezing, he's kind of extended here and there. And then as soon as he gets on top, there's never a 22nd, 32nd, just kind of coast out the rest of the first period, and let's just blanket ride and take it easy. It's immediately into the turn, working the right side, working the left side, trying to get that wrist across, grabbing his squeeze, trying to take him over, getting him over, holding him there. Everything that he's doing, he's exerting so much energy that 90% of the other competitors out there, they don't do. They're lazy on a wrestling mat compared to what Spencer Lee is. And that's one big reason why he does get tired, is because he wrestles so stinking hard when he's on the mat.
The other champion, Real Woods, really had to avoid quite a scramble at the end to prevail in that match. And I know you were on the radio, but he told the Big Ten Network he thought he was timid for whatever reason.
I don't know if him being he was really that timid. Maybe. I mean, it's his words, not mine. But Hardy's a tough competitor for Nebraska. And he was in on Real Woods a lot. And Real Woods, I tell you what, he is a scrambler. He fought off some unbelievable takedowns. I mean, I thought he was dead rights a couple of times, and somehow he fought him off. You know, he had a good match, though. He came out on top. He got cheated. That's probably the best word I can think of right now off the top of my head, out of a couple of near-fall points early on in the first period.
Yeah.
You know, and the same thing that happened to him against Hardy before. He got cheated out of 4-point near-fall in the dual meet as well, too. It's just he's had tough luck against referees when he's wrestling Hardy when it comes to near-fall points. And the other thing where he got a point taken away, or not given, taken away, but a point given to Hardy was a stall call in the second period for him being on the bottom for stalling. He got called twice for stalling in 28 seconds, and it was insane. It was terrible. It was absolutely horrific, horrific refereeing that, one, he'd even get one stall call, let alone two in 28 seconds, because Hardy had the leg, his right leg, figure forward, so, and he's riding parallel. So there's nothing that he can possibly do when your legs figure forward, except for use your left leg, because your right leg basically is out of commission. So he does. He uses his left leg. He brings his knee underneath him, and then his hands are trying to fight for hand control so he can get his hands freed and push up, and he gets dinged for stalling. He's doing everything you were supposed to do as a wrestler on the bottom. When a guy has your leg figured forward and he's parallel riding you, and he gets dinged for stalling twice, which they never call stalling anymore, ever. And then, especially in a position like that, it was... I don't know what the referee had out for Real Woods, but, man, it was terrible, terrible in that match. I'm just really, really proud of Real Woods for prevailing and keeping his cool and being just a outstanding Class A type of athlete and keeping his cool and just not doing anything stupid afterwards or whatever. And it is what it is. And that's like I think I said on the radio that day. You have to – not only sometimes beat your opponent, but you got to beat the opposing coach, and you got to beat the referees, and you got to beat the fans, and it takes a lot to do that. So, and he did it, and he showed a lot of good composure.
Woods, he's won, what, 16 straight matches?
I don't know.
I thought I read he won double digits in a row.
But he hasn't lost yet this year.
Yeah, so, I mean, that...
So whatever his record this year is, and then, you know, stemming from, I don't know where he was at last year in the WrestleBacks, but, he's won...
And that's pretty big, obviously, in any level of wrestling. But you know, 16 straight matches. What have you seen from him that's maybe led to his success?
Well, I think he comes out so hard. He comes out scoring right away. He's gotten really good from the top position. He gets some near fall points usually, as long as the referee gives them to him. And then he scrambles so well, as we saw. I mean, he's so hard to take down. So like where. Probably, 75% of the guys out there would have been taken down in that situation from Hardy. He doesn't give up those takedowns. He fights. He's very determined not to give up points. And that basically, to answer your question, attributes to him being undefeated this entire year. I don't even know what he's ranked. Probably two would be my guess. The kid from Northern Colorado. 41's wide open. It's Real Woods has a legit shot of being a national champion there, as does, a few other people as well, too. But Real Woods is just has as good of a chance as anybody else.
Mark Ironside joining us on the Gym Class. His appearance brought to you by Kurt Gustafson, American Family Insurance on Johnson Avenue, Northwest. 0835 on the text line. Is Penn State the clear favorite? How good is Iowa's chance of a national championship? Or is there a dark dark horse out there.
I don't think there's a dark horse. I think that Penn State's a pretty clear-cut favorite right now.
So strong in the upper weights.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's not only the upper weights, but they got a lot of lower weights. I mean, look at Levi Haynes, a true freshman, winning at 157, beating Peyton Robb from Nebraska, is undefeated. So then now you even throw him into the mix, you know, which we knew he was good all along. But you got RBY in there at 33. I mean, they're just loaded. And even they're only taking 9 guys to our 10. But they're just able to score a lot more points, you know, with their guys. It's definitely going to take Penn State getting upset at a couple of weight classes and us wrestling above our capabilities in a couple of weight classes. And perfect examples is, and I know we talked about this probably last week, 97 in heavyweight. We were head-to-head with them in the quarters and the semis. We lose those matches. We win those matches, we win the Big Tens, flat out. Those are the matches that we have to win. If we can't win those matches, we can't win the Big Tens and we can't win the Nationals. And I hate to put it all on Jacob Warner and Tony Cassiope, but those are matches that we're head-to-head with. We win those matches, we win the Big Tens. We win those matches, we got a shot at winning the Nationals. And, you know, Jacob Warner just, you know, he hadn't even taken Max Dean down yet. In the 4 matches he's lost to him. And Tony Cassiope was 3-0 against Kirkley coming into the season. Now he's 0-3 against him. So we got to figure something out there. If we're going to win a national title, we need some guys stepping up. And 97 heavyweight are two big weight classes that could provide an extra spark for us if they show up and wrestle well at the national championships, amongst obviously others. But, I mean, you take a guy like Abe Assad, he's capable of being All-American or not placing at all. You take a guy like Kobe Seabreck, capable of being All-American or not placing at all. You know, Brody Teske, capable of being All-American or not placing at all. So we have so many of those guys, whereas Penn State has, man, it's going to be a pretty – it's going to be an upset if he's not at least on the All-American stand, if he doesn't win it type of thing. Mm-hmm. So that's the difference. We're going to have to wrestle our tails off, and Penn State's going to have to slip up.
A distant third was Nebraska. You have to tip your cap to your friend Mark Manning.
Yeah, they had 5 finalists. That's impressive.
Yeah, and barely edged Ohio State, which also had a pretty good meet. But third, fourth, were distant from Penn State and Iowa, but... Nebraska had a really good meet.
They really did. They had 5 in the semifinals, won every one of them, and 5 in the finals, only won one of them. They just didn't have much depth on the backside. They're just their main hitters, their heavy hitters. That All Red. What about that All Red at 97 for Nebraska, who beats Max Dean from Penn State? You know, that is a wake up call for a guy like Jacob Warner. You know, Jacob Warner. You know, I'm sure he was. I would hope he was watching that match. And looking at that and seeing, okay, I haven't taken Max Dean down in 4 times I've wrestled him. This guy just took him down 3 times. So, first of all, he is human. And then also study that. How did he take him down? Once he got him taken down, how did he ride him? How did he get away from him? You know, there's a lot of things you can learn from watching someone else wrestle him like that. But it should have given him some confidence that, hey, you know what? He is beatable. And that All Red wrestled a great tournament for Nebraska.
The national tournament in Tulsa for the first time ever. It's been in Oklahoma many times. Oklahoma State going to host. This is an arena that will seat, depending on what concert or indoor football, anywhere from 13,500 to 19,000. So it's a sizable arena. It's Oklahoma's good wrestling country. It should be a good environment. Thoughts about going down to Oklahoma?
I'm excited for it. I mean, you're in wrestling country. We're in a little bit warmer climate. We're still in the same time zone, which is nice for the guys. So they're not having to wake up an hour earlier than what they normally would, or sleep or wrestling later at night than what they normally would. I think it helps when you're in the same time zone. You know, I think that obviously Oklahoma being Oklahoma, that Oklahoma State, Oklahoma itself, I mean, there's a lot of heritage there for wrestling. I think there's going to be a lot of fans showing up. Obviously, it's a really tough ticket to get. I've had numerous people reach out to me wanting to know of, hey, any tickets available, and it's tough to find. But unfortunately, the arena's smaller right now than after you take out – the lower sections mm-hmm. to provide area for eight mats to be on the floor, tables, the head table to be on the floor, stuff like that. I mean, you're down to like a 16,000 seated arena when you're normally used to, you know, the bigger arenas where you're, after that's all said and done, you're at 20, 21,000 tickets. So I know Iowa had like 25% of their allotment cut back from what they normally do. And then what's unfortunate for Iowa too is they always shove us in a corner and they just seem to put us all in, you know, up high too. And they give Iowa absolutely zero love when it comes to tickets at the Big Ten's. This was the same way, of course. You know, it's Michigan hosting, so they had like all three sections on the 50-yard line and across there, which is, you know, obviously that's going to happen. You know, which is kind of ideal for them. But yeah, at Nationals every year we kind of get hosed in that aspect of seating and the ticket allotment and so forth or whatever. But there's a lot of Iowa Hawkeye fans that will be down there and you know, trying to give us a spark. And it'll be a great environment. The Win Memorabilia Show will be there. You know, Mike Chapman started that in 1995. Gives everybody something to do between the rounds and go and visit all the expos and the vendors and stuff. It's just a great atmosphere for those 3 days of wrestling.
The Big 12 Missouri won that as a team. Iowa State gets eight through, and late entries, you and I up to seven now. You know, you got David Carr, who did get beat in the first round last year. Everybody should take a look at that and say, hey, I got to wrestle every match. But your thoughts on the Big 12?
I was able to watch those finals on Monday night. I missed them Sunday night. Because we were traveling, and then Monday night they re-aired them again, so I was able to watch those Big 12 finals again, and there were some good, exciting matches. You know, good for you and I to get, they only qualified five, and then they got Happel and Holschlag in there on wild cards to make it seven, and Iowa State looked pretty good in the finals. That Pinero Johnson looked really good. He's so stinking explosive and quick and powerful. But David Carr had a crazy, crazy good match with O'Toole from Missouri, and ended up winning in overtime. Actually pinned him in overtime, just kind of caught him in a situation there, in a scramble situation. But that 165-pound weight class, that is the toughest weight class in the country.
Is it?
By far, hands down. Like, there's six, seven guys in there. You could re-wrestle the tournament six or seven times and have a different winner every single time.
Wow.
I mean, it is that tight at 165 pounds. It's insane how strong of a field that 165 pounds is at the national level.
One more text, and we need to get you out of here soon, but what does Teske and Seabreck need to do to get to the next level?
Seabreck needs to, you know, obviously develop a really good go-to shot. Good fundamental, whether it's a sweep single, double leg, head of the outside single, whatever. He needs a really good go-to shot, other than, you know, just kind of relying a little bit on his scrambling abilities and his double unders and stuff like that. And, I mean, you look at, take a guy like Jordan Burroughs, perfect example. What's Jordan Burroughs known for? All around the world, he's known for his double legs. You know, I mean, singles and doubles, that's what wins world Olympic titles and national titles at the highest level. It's not just kind of just getting, you know, winning on your defense and scrambling and, you know, kind of big throws once in a while. It's good, solid, basic fundamentals. And then if you can scramble like what Kobe can and have good double unders and do all that, that's just icing on the cake. Mm-hmm. That even works even better. But you, in order to win and to place high at a national level, you're going to have to, you have to have good, solid go-to type fundamental shots. And I know that's something he's working on and trying to develop. And he is injured a little bit. He's got to keep that elbow tight into his lat. He can't get extended, so he has to be smart about what he can and cannot do right now. And Teske need to finish the match, you know, finish matches the whole entire 7 minutes. Just not getting careless at the end and staying where he's good. But other than that, I mean, he's good. He goes. He's just a go kid. And I love watching him wrestle. We just need to get him to end the match like he starts a match.
One more quick one, then you're vamoose, okay? Will there ever be another Big Ten team like the 83 Iowa team that won 9 individual championships?
No, there will not be. And I say that because,
I can't believe
too,
there will be.
Well, because here's the thing. Back then, you know, it was the Big Ten. There was 10 teams. Now there's 14 teams.
Maryland doesn't offer anything.
Penn State does. Okay? Penn State does. And they weren't there last year. You take Penn State out of the Big Ten last weekend, look at where we're at. Take them completely out of the tournament.
Touché, dude.
Like, completely. Not, like, just a couple of guys. You take that entire team out of the tournament.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then look where you're at. So that's why you'll never have another Big Ten team like that. But you can't compare. Not that team. You'd be interested to see. Okay, let's say Penn State was a team then, or you did have four other teams in there, and here before too long, you know, you might have a couple more. You know, if UCLA and USC would end up getting wrestling programs, you never know. So it's obviously tougher to win 9 titles and have the high point scorings when you've got 4 other teams inside the competition.
Lou and Ed Bannock waiting outside for you.
Well, that's fine. They get it. They understand it. They're smart. They understand.
No, you make a good point about Penn State. No doubt about it.
So,
yeah. All right.
Well, thanks, fellas.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next week.
Get you on the phone next Wednesday, okay?
Yep, next Wednesday.
All right, Ben.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it. Mark Ironside joining us here talking some wrestling on KGYM. Again, thanks to Kirk Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance, Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, for bringing us our weekly conversation with Mark. 3:49 coming up on 3:50. We got to talk bowling. Got to make sure that gets in. Bowling Night in America coming up. And do we have an update from high school basketball? We might have that as well on the other side of this timeout. It's the Gym Class on KGYM.
It's time to up your game with Elite Sportsbook. With new daily boosts, free bet promotions, exciting parlays, and some of the best odds, Elite Sportsbook is even more than before. You'll stay in control with live in-game betting and early cash outs. Sign up today and Elite will give you a bet rebound up to $250 with Iowa's most user-friendly sports betting app. Download our updated app with integrated funding and increased functionality and play your game with Elite Sportsbook. Must be 21. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids. The official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
And it is a Bowling Night in America. We'll get you a preview here momentarily on the Gym Class. It's brought to you by DuPaco Community Credit Union on this Wednesday, March 8th of 2023. And did you just get scolded by Mark Ironside for that question?
I did. He furthered his argument about my 83 question. He said, remember, Nebraska wasn't in the league then either.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And Nebraska had 5 finalists that's this true. Year. And Penn State has 6, so you, yeah.
So take Nebraska and Penn State, just what you're telling me, Mark Ironside, and Mark Dukes, is we should move Penn State and Nebraska out of the Big Ten. That is exactly what you're saying, right?
Before we get to Bowling Night in America, an upset at the Boise State basketball tournament. Kennedy has fallen 57-45 to 8th-seeded Pleasant Valley.
Wow.
Kennedy went in as an undefeated and number one ranked team. Tough day for the Cougars. Bowling Night in America, it's been a tough 4 to 6 weeks for the Rusty Nails. Slidden down to 7th place in the Adult Evergreen League. Tonight, lanes 27 and 28 against Viking. Our friends from the Viking are one place behind us. We need to get off the schneid without you, Nash. We need to give him a good report tonight.
He's back next week, unless something else pops up. But you gotta carry some momentum in his return.
Kennedy loss may change things too. I haven't looked at the schedule, but we'll see.
We'll see. So,
but you have any questions about bowling equipment, what have you? Give May City a bowl call, 362-0136, or visit the website maycitybowlcr.com.
Very good. We'll have a recap tomorrow, see if they can get off the schneid. That'll be tomorrow before we wrap up the show here today. Basketball results continue to pour in. Pittsburgh, a winner over Georgia Tech. So the Panthers moving on, 89-81 winner there. George Mason beating Richmond in the A-10. Colorado State beating Fresno State, 67-65. Again, looking forward to the games Wisconsin and Ohio State. And the Minnesota-Nebraska game, along with the Big 12 games, and We'll talk about those and more. Again, we'll have a instant reaction type of show. We have the coach, Kevin Lehman, joining us tomorrow, I believe, here on the program to talk about college basketball, get to pick his brain about Drake in the NCAA tournament because he was there for a good chunk of the Arch Madness last week. And we'll talk to him more about the games coming up here as we get further and further down the road here into championship week. Want to remind everybody, too, we've had some folks I saw on the text line asking about the bracket challenge. Market's coming back. We'll have all the info, all the links and stuff you need for you available at kgymradio.com starting Sunday when all the brackets are announced, so Sunday evening, and then we'll get that all up and going. Your chance to win $500 in our bracket challenge presented by Imon Communications. If you want the initial info, just kind of the teaser, send to kgymradio.com and we'll get you hooked up there. But look for that coming up here very soon.
In terms of participation, this has always been one of the top promotions and mm-hmm. contests that we have, and we anticipate nothing less this year.
That is true. Very true. We'll get that for you, and we'll talk about it. We'll have bracket breakdown coming up on Monday, and of course, full reaction to everything going on in the college basketball world for the rest of the week here, heading into what hopefully is a successful weekend for the two, for the remaining in-state teams, the Iowa State women playing Friday night, Iowa State men playing tomorrow morning, Iowa men, the Hawkeye men playing about 1:30 tomorrow afternoon. We'd be remiss if we talked about a little bit on the show yesterday, Iowa baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Your Cohawks did not fare all that well. They kept it close for a little while against the Hawkeyes, but the Hawkeyes beat the Cohawks 8-2. Best start since 1942.
Woo.
For the Iowa baseball program.
That's a long time.
10-1 on the season, heading to Texas Tech for that three-game set starting Friday. So some big games coming up. Texas Tech, usually a pretty solid team. I know they lost some guys to the draft, but they were here in Iowa City last spring. Took 2 of 3 from Iowa, so a little bit bump up in competition, although Iowa's beaten the number one team in the country, so don't think we'll get any higher than that or get the competition level any higher than that. But solid performance for Iowa last night. 20 strikeouts.
Yeah.
For the Iowa baseball pitchers.
Only a couple of hits for Coe. Did
yeah.
get a couple of runs, 8-2, the final. About what I would expect.
Mm-hmm.
But nice that Iowa entertains schools like Loras and Coe.
Yeah, yeah, it's cool to see. They've got those midweek games that are against some of the smaller competition teams, not just in Iowa, but I know they play Bradley and UW-Milwaukee mm-hmm. and, you know, some of the smaller schools, but still get a pretty good test out of it. Some of those schools are pretty solid at what they do in college baseball. So good to see that. But 10-1, best start since 1942 for Coach Heller's squad heading to Texas Tech on Friday. Iowa softball, they've got like a week and a half in Florida. And we mentioned the Iowa State softball team heading to Manoa, Hawaii. I talked about that yesterday and still kind of green with envy. For
what's the budget Cyclones. For that?
I don't know.
Jamie Pollard.
Yeah, come on, Jamie. Fellow UW Oshkosh Titan, Jamie Pollard.
Is he?
He is. Oshkosh, Wisconsin native.
I didn't know that.
UW Oshkosh Titan, yeah. So there's two Oshkosh Titans here in eastern Iowa. Well, not eastern Iowa, but in the state of Iowa in general. But, yeah, we'll see. See how the Cyclones do in Hawaii for softball. That wraps it up for us here on the show today. We're back tomorrow, like I mentioned. The coach, Kevin Lehman, joining us about 3:30 tomorrow. We'll chat with him. College hoops reaction to the Iowa State and Iowa men's games as well. Part of the show tomorrow. Have a great night.
I will. Talk to you tomorrow, Spencer.
Very good. For Mark Dukes, Spencer Wagon in with you here on KGYM, the Todd Brommelkamp Show coming up next right here on the gym. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.
Ray Maliazza here for eBay Motors.